Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Who Inspire. I'm Cynthia Pooler. My guest today is my dear friend Megan Buchanan. And Megan just got back from climbing Mount Everest. And she's going to talk about how the Everest experience has changed her life. So, Megan, were you surprised on your new perspective, or did you expect it?
That's a really great question. I knew that I'd have a new perspective on life, and just because every climb that I do, I am never the same woman coming out of it as I was going into it. And I think that's part of what's kind of addicting about this sort of adventuring, because I love the opportunity to be challenged and grow and change. But this one was very different. It was a really big leap in some really personal things, deep crevices within myself and my soul. I call it the basement of my soul. You know, we all have insecurities. We all have doubt. And at some point, those surface, the voices come in. And the more that you push yourself and fall and get back up, those voices get smaller and smaller. You learn to fake it till you make it and push yourself through. But I will say, on this last journey, I really had to face truly who I am as a human being and who I want to be. And there was no faking it till I make it. I really had to dig deep and crawl myself out. And coming out of the other side was really this beautiful experience of true acceptance of myself. And it was really, really amazing, transformative.
So explain that. Tell our listeners what you mean by transformative.
Yeah, so there was time, and I don't know if anyone is able to follow my Instagram, my Facebook, but I really try to share my journey every day with everyone. And one thing I wanted to share was not just the positive, but the negative things that, you go through. And as I had been, we climbed to base camp and then from 17,500 feet. From there, you're doing rotations. And rotations are going up to the higher spots, staying the night, tagging higher and higher to acclimatize. And then eventually, 5-6 days, you'll be back down at base camp. You can rest a few days. You wait for the next weather window, and you do a rotation even higher again. You're preparing your body and your mind to go to over 29,000 feet to summit Everest. Well, your body is under harsh conditions, and it takes a lot for yourself to stay alive. So when you're basically living at 17,500 feet and going higher, it's very hard to intake enough calories to sustain yourself. Like, you can't. You are eating everything and anything, and you're still dropping weight. Well, after the second rotation, I came down, and when I was getting undressed, I noticed that my ribs, my hips, my bones are sticking out. I had dropped a lot of weight. And so the first hike that we had out of base camp, I had no energy. And it wasn't just that I had no energy. I was extremely weak. And that is something I'm not used to. And it really scared me. And for the first time, I was started thinking to myself, I don't think I can do this. I don't know if I can do this. If I'm this weak, I can't summit. That's when the voices start coming in and the doubt. And so even I talk about grit and I talk about overcoming these things, but it was overcoming me. And I was getting very worried, and my brain goes to, you can't, what are you even doing here? You don't deserve to be here. Look at all these other, amazing mountaineers and athletes. What are you thinking? You're not strong enough. But I knew also that that is not a good place to be, and I had to get myself out of there. And I really sat, I also sat I have my crew that I was hiking with, but it's not my normal support group. It's not my family. It's not my friends who have known me for years that know me inside and out. It was just me. And I had to sit with all that doubt. And I cried a lot. I posted a picture with me with just my head in my hands. Mm-hmm. I knew at that very moment, I had to face exactly who I was. Again, there's no faking it till you make it, like, oh, come on, you'll just push through. I was weak and I was not strong enough. And I needed to accept exactly who I was at that very moment and deal with that or give up. And that is the mental thing. When you have all these voices, you just want to give up. You don't want to push yourself. But I had to have a talk with myself and decide, no, we're here. We are going to try this. And at that point, I went to my guides and crying and had to admit, I am too weak. I don't think I'm strong enough to do this. And admit to others where I was at. And so we then came up with a game plan. And the game plan was, if I was a week, I had to be eating something. And it's hard. I already felt like I was eating everything I could. But they're like, even though you're extremely full, you need to get seconds. And like a pork chop,
they have
these overcooked pork chops. And you like eat all the gristle. You've got to eat everything. And so I have all these protein bars. I cut them up. I kept them in a baggie in my pocket around base camp. And if I was awake, I was eating. And I needed to self-care. I needed to listen to, you know, my playlist that inspires me. I needed to be kind to myself. Anytime those voices came in, I had to shut them down and say, no, I can do this. And even my guide, who's so awesome, and I knew this, but I had forgotten it. He's like, what is your mantra? What is your mantra, Megan? And I was like, take one more step forward. He's like, all right, keep saying it. And so it was building myself back up to a place that then mentally I was back in the game, and then physically I got back into the game. And it took me several days. It probably took like 6 days. I know it sounds really short to most people, but this is something that I strive and I teach on now. So 6 days was really long for me to get myself mentally back in the game. And then I noticed on hikes, I was starting to get stronger. I was starting to fill in a little, oh my God, all I did was eat. I was so sick of it. My jaw was tired. But I started building my body back. And I got to a place, we were actually at base camp after second rotation for 2 weeks waiting for the window to open to go back up.
Oh my God.
And in that 2 weeks, I got myself back to where literally I felt just as strong as before I had left of, I've got this, I'm strong enough, and I'm mentally ready. So what happened then, as you already know, we were 6 hours from leaving to go for summit bid, and this was going to be it, and my team and I were ready, so excited. And unfortunately, what happened is our entire Climb a Sherpa, our Sherpa team, everyone got wiped out by the new Delta variant of COVID at Camp 2. After 2 months of staying protected and bubbled, it went through and everything was canceled. Everyone's ordered off the mountain. And so my shot at summit like that was gone. And people in my team were devastated. But I have to tell you, I was just like, okay. And I was disappointed, but I was not devastated. Because honestly, for me, what I had gone through of pulling myself out of the deepest insecurities I had, I felt so free and positive and unstoppable that I knew right then, I am disappointed, but I am not devastated. Devastated is the people that died on the mountain. Devastated are the people from the same mountaineering company. They had toes removed from frostbite. Devastated are the people who lost their lives from COVID. You know, people, that's devastated. I'm disappointed, but I also know in my soul, like, I have what it takes to do this, and I will go back next year. And that is what grit is about. You don't always get what you want when you want it. You have to be willing to go back and try it again. And so I had already gone through that grieving process in my head. So when it all got canceled, I'm like, well, that sucks. But I know I'll go back next year and I'll get it done. And since then, everything in my life is a lot clearer. Work, everything else, that bottom basement of my soul insecurity is gone. And I know that I will not always achieve every goal I want. I know I'll fall, but I know I will get back up and I will get through. And it just is this amazing, freeing feeling that for like the first time in my life at every level, like I'm finally good enough for myself. Like I'm good enough. Because I'm always like, oh, yeah. Go ahead. Yeah.
Let me ask you this. You know, like I've said before, only a small percentage of the people that might be listening to this will ever decide to do the Seven Summits or even climb Mount Everest. Okay, for those people, what you just said about, you know, having an epiphany because of your climb, what would you say to those people who lead ordinary lives? They go to their job, they come home, they take care of their family, they do, you know, community stuff or whatever, the everyday things in life. What would you say to them?
Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I think you understand the question.
Yeah, I totally understand the question. And it is such a great question because it took me, I know myself, I know how driven I am, and I know how my whole life inside, I felt less adequate because of my dyslexia or different things like that, and it's something I put on myself. And it did. It took me going to Everest where it's facing a moment where I still wasn't good enough for myself. And finally, I'm just like, Megan, you're climbing Everest. When will you finally be good enough for yourself? This is, I realize I'm ridiculous. This is ridiculous, the pressure you put on yourself. So for the everyday person, it is about what is your Everest? And it can be, you know, I want to raise two healthy kids that, you know, that go on to be, contribute to society, or two kids that just love me. Or it can be, I want to be happy in my work. And all of these are extremely valid goals. And these are regular goals. And it all comes down to you have got to come to peace with who you are as a human being. And love yourself and stop being emotionally abusive to yourself and that you're never good enough and you need to be doing more. And I truly think that if you can, and that's why I use grit, which is gratitude, growth, resilience, integrity, and tenacity. And through those five things, it applies to every single thing in our life. And the base is gratitude. And no matter what you're going through in your life, if you can be grateful for some things that you have right now, and actually I tell people, wake up every morning before you get out of bed, think of three things you're grateful for. And I know a lot of people that might be going through some really hard times, and it might be really hard to think of those three things, so start simple. But if you can find gratitude in what you have, that is the basis to start changing your mindset. And be open to growth. Be open to being vulnerable. Be okay with the fact that you're going to fail. You're going to fall a lot in life. And pick yourself back up and learn to really accept who you are and love yourself. Because I'll tell you, it's those voices in your mind. We are the ones who beat ourselves up the most, you know? I was telling my cousin the other day, she was just talking about, she's really down on herself for a couple things. And I was like, I said, listen to the way you're talking to yourself. If you were talking to another person like that, you would consider yourself verbally abusive. So it's, you know, it really is. I had all those voices too. And it doesn't matter what you're trying to accomplish in life. You need to be kinder to yourself and allow yourself to grow. Allow yourself to have a different journey, you know, whatever it is.
So as you were climbing, and what you just said to me, was that like an awareness that you never knew before, or you knew it, but you put it in the back of your mind?
I have always known it, and from using grit and being on the journey that I am, I always would get a little better at it, but a lot of times whenever I have that doubt, I just say fake it till you make it, and you kind of fake it, and then you find yourself on the other side. You're like, oh my God, I did it. And that grows your confidence. But this one, this time, there was no faking it till I make it. There was no, let's just give this a try. Like, I had to dig deep and pull myself mentally and physically from the bottom if I was going to do this. And so, yeah, there was just no faking it. It was, I really had to do it. And I really, truly had to believe in myself, or mentally I was not going to pull myself around. So I learned this new phrase. It's actually a hashtag up on the mountain called fear kills dreams. It is our fear that so many times stop us from taking that step forward. And it's one of those things. 4th of July, some friends, we were going to go, they have a boat, and invited my sister and me to go watch the fireworks. And I said, I asked her, do you want to go? And I could see her wheel spinning. And she goes, well, what if I get seasick? Sometimes I get seasick. What if I want to go home? What if I'm like, oh my gosh. Right. I was like, what if? I'm like, what if?
Right.
You know what then? We turn around and we go back. And people, it was just like, it's eye-opening to me. I was like, oh my gosh, this is exactly what I'm talking about. The fear stops us, where you need to fall through that fear and go to the what if. And this is at a very easy, you know, going on a boat ride to see fireworks on the water. What a beautiful thing. What if you get seasick? Then we turn around and you go home. Like, allow yourself to break through that fear and go into the what if. Because what if you don't get seasick?
Right.
And you had like an amazing time watching beautiful fireworks. And that's kind of the fake it till you make it that I'm talking about in the beginning. And be aware that your mind is putting up this fear and this wall. And take those baby steps and fall through that. And the more you do that, the easier it gets. And then that's when you really start building that self-confidence and allowing yourself to take steps forward towards whatever your goal is, or just that goal of loving yourself and being proud of yourself.
Now, when you would have downtime, when you would have to wait a couple of days for the conditions to be right, and you were talking to your teammates, did you guys talk about exactly what we're talking about right now? Did you share feelings? Did they feel the same way you did? Did they have a different perspective? And if it was a different perspective, did you learn from them?
That's a good question, too. And you know, mainly, of course, mainly males on my trip. But I did have, there's a mother daughter team on my trip, and mother was there for half the time. Wonderful woman, her 60s, her daughter's 30. And so talked a little more with them about, you know, specifically being a woman in engineering or careers. And the guys didn't really talk about it a lot in the beginning, but I did on that second rotation. when I had, you know, I was having trouble getting to camp three. I thought I was having trouble getting to camp three. And I was messing with my suit. I was uncomfortable. And I felt, I started going slower than I normally was. And I remember at dinner that night, and this is when I was going through all the self-doubt. I was like, oh, God, what is happening right now? And I apologized to my team for, I was like, I'm so sorry I let you down. I was going too slow. And they, but they all looked at me. They're like, what are you talking about? You aren't going too slow. You were just fine. You were like 1 minute behind. It was not a big deal. I was like, yeah, but I, and then this happened and this happened. And some of the guys did open up. They're like, Megan, we all feel like that. That's happened to all of us. We've all freaked out. And so I think, again, when you, people weren't talking about it until someone talks about it. And yeah, but a lot of this that I went through, I didn't talk deeply about it with them because this is also something I was still trying to absorb and figure out how to articulate what was happening. And it's not until I've been back a month that I really understand the impact of what I went through, you know, mentally and emotionally and physically. But, you know, it what they did see, what we did talk about was me building my strength back in that 2 weeks. And you know, everyone there was like, oh, maybe I should be eating more. And so, yeah, I mean, we all bonded in that way. But, yeah, and everyone goes through changes. Some good, some bad. Because I think I've said this before. I also saw the worst in some people. And I don't know, honestly, if they got back and they're just like, oh, my gosh, I did not behave. Or if they're just so narcissistic that they think they behaved just fine. But it is an extreme place that brings out the extreme in you. And I think who you are at the core comes out. And for some people, it's this beautiful breakdown and enlightenment. But for some people, the worst comes out in them.
Did you experience anybody who happened that it was the worst part of their personality?
Oh, yeah.
And how did you deal with that?
Yeah, you know, sometimes, and a lot of it, too, is just usually someone who's it's so negative and toxic to be around. And that's all amplified at high altitudes. You're tired. Your body's breaking down. It affects people greatly. And so there were several times where our guide would be like, you know what, everyone, let's stay positive today. I don't want to hear anything negative. But it also gets to a point then where, you know, someone's misbehaving. And you allow it to go on for a little while because you want to be compassionate that they're obviously not happy about something. But at some point, you need to speak up. So usually, I'd end up speaking up, trying to take emotion out of it and just speak to facts. And that usually, you know, the individuals who are throwing tantrums, they don't like that very much. But then what happens, too, is as a team, you try to tell the person they're misbehaving, but at some point, if they're just not going to get their act together, you can't be around them. You cannot be around that toxicity. And so, you know, that's kind of what happens. But, yeah, it's a difficult thing to deal with. It's because you also don't, like me as a compassionate human being, I don't want anyone to be isolated. And you don't do that, but you have to, like, temper how your interactions with that person or just stand your ground. Once they start going negative or nasty, you just shut them down. Be like, I'm not going to listen to this right now. And you just have to, like, divert them into only being, you know, positive around you. It's always a challenge.
But those people, the people that were in your group, all of them went there for the same reason. And that was to summit Mount Everest. So you came there with a positive attitude. You tried to keep a positive attitude. But the people that didn't keep that positive attitude, why were they there?
Good question. And we're all there, you know, and everyone you meet is there for a different reason. I was telling everyone, I'm like, everyone's special that climbs Everest. Everyone's climbing the seven summits for some amazing reason. Like, there's a guy who's hiking to bring awareness for lupus. There's a guy, you know, all these different things. Everyone there is pretty amazing, but there are some people there that they, you know, they have the personal goal of climbing the highest mountain in the world. And, but I think, and that's, I mean, that's a great goal. And it doesn't, you know, whatever your reasoning is underneath, I think is irrelevant when you're on a team, like you said, because we're all there for the same goal, but we do have different reasons. And when you are a person that is there for a really positive reason and you're a positive person, you're going to get something amazing out of it, even if you did not summit Everest. I got something amazing out of this experience, and I am so grateful for that. And I really hope I can raise the money to go back and get next year, and I'll do it. But I am so grateful. So I got to walk away being fulfilled. The people who are negative walk away angry. They are angry, and they feel they got robbed. And it's the most ridiculous thing ever to me. I don't know when climbing Everest became a 100% guarantee, but I feel very sad for those people because they really missed out on an opportunity to find something deeper within themselves. So, you know.
Now, some of your teammates, when you were told that the conditions weren't right for you to summit, did some of those teammates say, we'll see you next year?
Yes, absolutely. And when I say teammates too, there's my immediate team that was a smaller Western guided, but there's also for Climbing the Seven Summits, there are individuals too that had privates. And so all of them are kind of teammates, but within my team, yeah, absolutely. There's a couple who are like, oh, heck yeah. We're like right away. I'll see you next year. We're doing this. And there are a couple that are younger, actually. And so, you know, it's harder for them, I think, to find the money, find the time. I think when you're younger, too, it was more devastating because they're like, oh, my gosh, how will I ever be able to? And when you get older, like me, you realize, you know what, I'll find it. I'll make it happen. Yeah, but you know, so I kind of get theirs. But they actually snap back quicker than some people, too. But, yeah, there's a couple mm-hmm. who are like, heck, yeah, we're doing it. So I've got a place on next year's team, and I'm super excited to go back and get her done. But you know what? I may not summit again. I don't know. But
right.
But that's how it goes. That's how it goes.
And on that note, Megan, our time is up. So, you know, there's many other stories that you and I could share on Women Who Inspire. So you've been listening to Megan Buchanan talking about her Everest experience, how it's changed her life. I'm Cynthia Pooler. This is Women Who Inspire. And if you like this show, like us on Facebook. Thanks, Megan. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you. Bye.